Yeah. Come on, sing what you want.
In our song that I just feel like I heard this song, it's a popular song, and I want to try to sing it. And when I heard it, I just broke. I just broke. And I heard Jesus singing it to me.
Yeah.
And then as I heard him singing it to me, he could go and sing it to my people. But this is how I feel about my people.
Whoever told you are sinless, then you live for. Whoever told you are less than.
That I have done in thee and through thee for thy people.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. How beautiful
all of you are.
He should know my time, yeah, I would come to thee this day and I would change my thoughts. He should know my time, you shall see me. And I shall see thee face to face, and I shall know thee, and thou shalt know me in a new way, I say unto thee. He comes on the highway, shall know the highway. Yea, I have waited, he comes on the and yea, I shall come forth in thee, and thou shalt know me, he comes on my feet, know me as thyself. He shall know the more, oh yea, ye see the Makai, and yo, I would say unto thee, I shall come and give thee new life. He shall know my kaye. And I say unto thee, thou hast not failed one jot, one tittle, I say unto thee. He shall know my kaye, oh my ye. For yea, he chose it before you came. He shall know he shall my kaye, yea, he shall I take thee into a new place today, yea. Koye, oh,
Father, I desire this. My heart desires this, my Father.
Thank you, Father, for your great love.
There's a mystery being unveiled. The mystery being unveiled here to us. We were in Portland, Tennessee, a couple of nights ago, and some Baptist friends of Sue's, the sister, and recently been through major heart surgery and lost her daughter, and the brokenness breaking them from, and I wondered how open will they be And the breaking of their soul is causing the light, you know, to find entrance, because Bob said, well, you know, Bob says, God never condemned any man for sin.
Good.
Well, there goes all your Baptist theology down the drain. That's the main support beam of the structure. That's what the whole thing depends on. You got to get out of that under. You got to please God around that thing somehow, maybe through Jesus, whatever way you can find your way there. But you got to get around that condemnation that comes from God. Bob clearly just blew it out there. I said, oh my God, Bob, this is your brother-in-law. You know, he's been in the dim light. You're going to just break him just totally. But every man can only hear what a man can hear.
Yeah.
And God has a screen in place for every man to only hear what he needs to hear.
Amen.
So don't be afraid to speak your truth, because God will filter it for every man, right? So I was thinking about that, so I tried in my feeble way to sort of give a little scriptural support for that thought. You know, to whom much has been forgiven, Simon? To whom much has been forgiven, Simon? Who loves more? Well, Simon says, the one who's been forgiven. Then how can you hold the thought that God would condemn that from which he profits so greatly?
Hallelujah. Amen.
But I felt really weak. I didn't feel it really. But when Lynn was through today, I felt the thought was perfectly supported. The thought that God does not condemn for sin. This was the mystery of sin and its purpose in the universe is just beautifully done. So I want to sing, since Carolyn brought up about you and me, notice your thoughts too. They don't have they. We don't know who they are anyway. All right? You don't sing about they. It's just you and me. Right? And I'm okay with the confusion. God needs your confusion a little bit about who you think you might be. I heard this in Carolyn's word. Did you hear the gentleness of that entreatment? I thought we'd sing this, and then Carolyn so beautifully brought the essence of it. This beautiful entreating. It's, you know, you so much need an emotional body. Now, in fact, you came here. The one thing you didn't have in the realms that you came from was this thing, emotion, this feeling where you say, I felt God. Or I felt bad. Of course, you always want to feel God and not feel bad. But this emotional body that serves you so beautifully, and you can twist around so many different directions, cause you so much joy, so much pain. And could you feel the gentleness, the sweetness of his love, that eternal love of the source coming and bedding itself again to you, right? Courting you after the divorce, right? And then Connie says, well, we dated. Oh, God, I loved it. Oh, yeah. We gently touched. We began to feel each other again and dispel the former thoughts with gentleness. And that's what that beautiful spirit was doing through Carolyn. You could feel it so beautifully entreating you. Hallelujah. When I see you, I know it's true. We share in being. I look for you in all I do. You are seem to be, oh, you are the one reality, oh, you are my love, you are my joy, my reason for living. You know, the wonderful thing about you and I, it can be transposed. I can become you and you can become I. the sharing of his being with you, and then all at once you find someone and you begin to sing this to another. Right? The first time I sang this, I was singing that to the eternal presence, to the great knowing, to the light that's the ineffable, the unknowing, the one beyond, Father, right? But then I found myself singing it to her. I find myself singing it to you. It's the song of love of the universe. It's the song of weddedness. It's the song of wholeness. It's the song that you just heard so beautifully through Carolyn. I know if I could only touch the hem of your garment, I'd heal my wound, I'd be made whole, no longer parted. My life would cease to ever wane, for in this time you've come to stay. No longer many, only one, the way that I started. There are 120 jubilees. Time of Noah, they were counting down. Time of Moses, it was 75, right? 210, well, and we've come down, the count's full. The 120 jubilees are complete. We've run the Autobahn. But we need to run it again. We need to see it. We've experienced it, but now we need to own it. We've experienced collectively. Adam Kind, you are the Son of Man. You are the embodiment of the Son of Man. The Son of Man has experienced his 120 jubilees. He has experienced it complete from the light within and the light without. It's here. But you've experienced it like a child experiences its infancy. And the only time you know what it's like to be a child is when you watch your child, and then you know what it's like to be a child, because you've been there, and now you see it. And now you own it. You never own your childhood until you see it acting out in your own children. And you haven't owned your humanity in all your experience of it. And all your negativity and pain concerning it has to be released.
Hallelujah.
Your negativity about religion, your negativity about cursing, all the things that were so clearly spoken this morning, we are coming from our awareness and leaving our embodiment. We are being cleansed from that which we needed to experience in order that we might own the journey.
Yeah.
Okay, just had to get that off my chest.
Yeah.
When I see you, I know it's true. We share in being.
I look
for you in all I do. You are my living. Oh, in all the things. 120. Jubilees. Oh, you are my one reality. Oh, you are my love. You are my joy. My reason for living. The only way to heal my wound is to own my woundedness.
Yes.
The only way to own our woundedness is to allow ourselves to feel one another. Ruth, you are not alone. You are not alone. None of us are an island to ourselves. None of us are alone. And our woundedness is the great opportunity to own the whole journey of mankind. Don't you love it? Oh, God. Yes. I know if I could only touch the hem of your garment. Oh, I could own, I could heal my wound. Made whole, no longer pardon. My life would cease to ever lay, for in this time we've come to stay. No longer made the only one the way that I started. Jesus doesn't mind you groveling at his cross. Jesus is okay with you groveling at his cross, wrapped in your awareness of sin and unworth. He's okay with that. He knows you need to get that out of your system. He's okay. He makes himself available for that, and has. For 2,000 years he has. Has patiently borne. But I promise you, when you will allow your tear-stained eyes to be washed, and whether you look beyond the ego limitations of the creation of your own guilt, and if you allow yourself to look at him, allow yourself to see him for the first time, allow him to whisper to you, you're looking at yourself. I am what you are. You are the one that's on the cross. I only came to open your awareness. I have never been on a cross. Only that I could experience it so I might cause you to understand that it's you all the time that's been on the cross. And that you might know the reason that you've been on that cross is not for any of the things that you thought. They are only the things that helped you get on the cross. But the real reason you came on that cross, so that you could be my heart and my soul. The only reason you ever came to that cross, because I put it in your heart, soul, that you might bear sin. That you might know sin. And that you might bear the sin of the cosmos. That you might bear the sin of all men, and not all men only, but that all the cosmos could understand and see that God does not impute sin, but sin is the creation of the human mind for the purpose of its own evolution. That you might know that sacred mystery, for it's time for it to be revealed. No longer need men to be hidden in darkness away from their shame. It's time for the illumination and the light to come and understanding and awareness to come. But how can they see? How can they understand? Lest a man would come and take upon himself that truth and become that reality. And that is who you are. Amen. All the time that's what you thought I was, you are. And I've served you, lo, these many years, but the time has come that we might wed our souls together and be as one, that we might be that one in the earth that has come at the Father's bidding to heal all things and restore all things to that original, pure, and beautiful intent. How wonderful it is, how beautiful we are, how great our journey is. Hallelujah. I'm looking forward to a lot of wonderful. I always sort of don't mind. You know, when you're on that Autobahn, you're thinking, well, it's 180. I wonder how it'll shake it on 200. And I'm on that Autobahn with you. We are together. We are. We're on a wonderful, awesome, total, beautiful, perfect kind of a thing. I want to say a few. Just, I know I asked about the time because I am just like you. I am so chock full of stuff, so wonderful stuff that's happening, and you don't know it. You feel like an empty drum, like a nothing, like a, you don't even know why you're here half the time. And then all at once, somebody puts you on the candlestick or something, and what happens? I don't know. And all at once, your illumination comes, and you're endlessly full. You see everything. You don't know how you can say it even in it. You don't know how you can get there. It's beautiful. So thank you for the opportunity of being together and for sharing. And how beautiful it is to me when some of you just all at once, you get that urge. And wonderful Holy Ghost comes in you, whatever. However it does, and you just say what comes. And you just share your moment of thought about a tree that you thought wasn't perfect, but you're learning to see that perfection isn't in the outward form of things or in the things that you behold. But perfection lies behind. Perfection is the greater reality. So I want to take you to a thought today that's really already been expressed, but I think it's key and critical to the journey. First, I want to say a couple things about the journey. Can I say the word journy is what I want to say something about first. Here we go. So hard to see these things. You ever tried looking at a transparency? I love these things. They help focus. Here's three parables. Let's look at one of them at a time. Yeah, one of them at a time. Doesn't matter which one. The first one here. Let me say something about parables first. We are thinking that God is always really anxious to tell His truth. Because you are. So you think God's just like you. Well, He is. It's true. It's wonderful. But you know something about this wonderful reality we call three-dimensional? The reason everything came from God and chose God is because the contrast helps you to see those things that God is not, as well as the things that God is. That's what's so beautiful about this world. It helps show, by contrast, what God is not. God is not a child being abused by his father. It's not God. That's what God is not. It's what God is. God is the is not. Can't get a handle on it in your mind. But you need to know what God is not to know what God is. Well, when you try to understand with your perceptional mind and try to distinguish that's God and that's not God, you're lost. You've got it done. You're finished. But this three-dimensional world allows the contrast. In those greater worlds, there's no such contrast. There's only the light. But in here's the shadows. Here's where the shadows are. Here's where the light can be blocked. Here's where you can create the opposite. In fact, everything, every action has a... immediately. Newton even knew that. Newton said, right? So this is this world of contrast. And you need to learn to walk in this valley of shadows. You need to learn to walk here. You need to own it. You need to be here. Right? And the thing... So greatly we want to help each other so desperately. And so often what we really want to do is we just want to fix each other. Yeah. We want to fix the things in our lives. We want to make the bad stuff go away. We do. But once in a while the great wonderful truth comes and Spirit speaks. And he said to Carolyn, he said, all things without exception. The reason God needs to repeat himself to you is because you don't listen, right? So all things without exception. Now that's what they call redundance. All things are all things. So how can there be an exception? All things without exception are for your awakening. That means without exception. That means when you're canceling your ear, that's for your, what did I call it? Awakening. Yeah. I want to fix it. I focused on it 70 long days, morning and night. I focused on fixing that. But all the time, I was asking profoundly in my soul. I became really, really humble. I became really, really broken, right? Oh, and then I think about the people who don't just have a little bit of cancer in their ear. They got cancer in their liver, in their kidneys, in their bones, my brethren, right? I became really, really humble, and I began to ask, okay, God, talk to me. Absolutely. Just talk to me. Yeah. Talk to me. And it's, you know, finally I heard it. It's not about your ear, it's about fear. It's not about my ear. Like these guys, they're not about two people and the apple under the tree, or if the pear on the ground. What is it? No! It's not about you. What do you mean? Well, I still got an ear. Now, don't you think I don't have an ear? I'm putting your stuff in my ear, I promise you. No, it's not about my ear, it's about fear. Fear. Why? Because the threshold of human consciousness is being broken, and the only thing that can lock you away from everything that you are is your own fear.
Yeah.
Glory. Wow. So now, when fear begins to strike you, you don't get afraid of the fear anymore. That would really be tough. You get afraid of fear, then you're not afraid of fear. Fear serves you, right? Everything that comes your way serves you. Fear comes my way. Fear serves me. Why does fear serve me? It makes me ask questions. I say, I want to know about this here before it grows into my brain. Yeah, I was sitting up here in Frith Lane, Hayes preaching with my ear off. Well, I'm willing, okay, worst case scenario, I can preach without one ear missing. I can preach with a half a brain missing, whatever it takes, yes. But the fear makes me ask the questions. Own your fear. Be happy, be thankful that you have an emotional body that can create fear. Quit trying to get rid of your fear. Own your fear. Be great enough. And I said, well, I think the greatest truth that ever dropped into my spirit. But finally I said, the reason, I'm going to say this, this is totally out of context. We're on the Audubon, right? So, it's totally out of context. You don't want to hear this. I don't want to say this, but I'm going to say it because it seems to be the right moment to say this. The only reason that Jesus bore your sin, although all my Baptist friends hear this, the only reason Jesus bore your sin, that he might empower you, that you could bear your own sin. That's the reason. Oh my God. How many years did it take me to come to know that one? That he might empower you to bear that which is your own creation, and that is your sin and your awareness of it. And that you might bear it because it is the evolutionary path to your whole Godhood. Sin is not something hindering you. Sin is your opportunity for the overcoming and the unfolding of your being. Glory. Man, we are on the Audubon big time. We're hearing stuff that's been hidden from the foundation of the world, from the downcasting of the ages. These things have been hidden from the hearts of men. I want you to know something. True, you've been lied to. Absolutely. True, you've been abused. Absolutely. Genetically abused, if you will. True, you've been distorted and contorted, and you've been locked into the house of religion, all those things, but they all serve you for the unfolding of the greatness of that light that is within, that was to be without. Glory, hallelujah. An attitude in us about our journey is the most critical thing that we must evolve in this moment of time. Because we're not doing it just for yourself, Ruth. Minor, this is not just about you and your childhood and your adulthood and your dad. This journey is about mankind in the form of Ruth Minor. And I empower you.
Yeah.
Walk your journey.
Yeah.
Be healed. Not by the taking away of those things, but by the owning of those things.
Yeah.
Glory to God.
Oh.
I'm getting distracted here. Don't you love it? Okay, let's see, what was I going to say? Oh yeah. I want to say something about the journey. Oh yes, and before I can, I need to say something about the parables. And this is the secret to the parables. They are hidden truth. Jesus said, I'm only going to talk in parables. Paul will come after, he'll explain it all. He'll give the mystery of the cross and of the atonement and all the temple service and worship. Somebody else will do all that. I'm going to tell my truth in hidden parables, lest they would hear. I didn't want them to hear. Whoa, that's a whole different thought. Oh, man, I don't find out some little bit of truth. I want to be validated. I want to tell somebody. I want somebody to know I'm spiritual enough to hear from God. I really do know something. I'm okay. Oh, my God. We are some trip, aren't we? But we're okay. It's all right. We're all the same. We're all in it. We're all in this wonderful, terrible journey together. Hallelujah. I love it. Don't you love it? So Jesus told parables, and this clearly what he said. He said things that were hidden from the time of Noah. No. Things that were hidden from in the books of Moses. No. Things that were hidden from those events in the garden that we really don't understand, that we're really searching into because they are our beginnings on this planet. And they need to be understood. I just love it. You're going to come down, Missouri?
Yeah.
All right. I love it. We need to. I love to hear the sound in the, as close as he knows, I'm sure, to the original Hebrew sound, just to hear the sound. God, that's my tongue. That's our original tongue. That's how we came here.
Oh,
glory. Those are the fire letters that came out of eternity and formed this reality, right? They hold the sacred hidden truth, and we need to make them our own. They are our own. So Jesus said, I am going to reveal truth from the downcasting of the ages. Preston Eby, help me with that. That's the phrase he used. The downcasting of the ages. The foundation of the world. I love the downcasting. Just like a man would hold in his hand a great mystery and he would cast them and out comes time, space. The whole of time, space. The whole thing at one time. Just casting down of the ages. Wow. It's like to me, the best way I can think of it is I'm watching this drama on TV. And I know this little girl is going to get hurt. You can just tell. The music, everything. I can't stand it. I got to get out of there. I can't watch. I can't stand little girls getting hurt. Do you remember the movie about the guy with his foot in the railway track? Huh? Fried green tomatoes. And they show you the train coming, and the music, you know. They show the little boy, and oh my God, they are abusing me. That is emotional abuse of the worst kind, but I remember it, right? One might say that, boy. Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is my best analogy that I know. You might, the best analogy is when Anthony Hopkins, or your favorite actor, gets on that stage, he's got a script. Now, some of them are so good, and they're so have so much influence, they can change the script in the middle a little bit. You know, I don't know if I'm there. But this Anthony Hopkins, he's got a script. But it's only a script. It's only paper. It's only letters. It doesn't become alive until Anthony Hopkins says it. Until he acts it out. This that we are, though it's pre-written, pre-ordained from the worlds and the downcasting of the ages, it's not reality. You become it in flesh.
Yeah.
Till you act it out, it does not affect and impact the cosmos until you become the thing. That's what we are. We are the reality of that eternal script. And our acting it out is not like an automaton of some kind or some kind of a robot. No, we are a living relationship and we are being reconnected not just to the time of Abraham or Moses or Adam or some 60,000 or 100,000 years ago, the Syrians or the Nephilim or whatever they may be. We are being reconnected to that which was before the downcasting of the ages, which is the heart mind of our Father's source. We are being reconnected to Himself. Glory. I love it.
Yeah.
Don't you think that's worth living for? Worth being? That encompasses all the years, the centuries of our time on this planet. And as we are being reconnected to His heart mind for the first time in the great human journey, we will be able to look at our journey, open our eyes, feel the whole thing, and understand. Glory to God.
Yeah.
That's what's happening to you. What's happening to you? To each one of you, you each got your part to be. You don't have to be able to say, a wretch, like, is that how you say it? You don't have to be able to say it like Lynn does it. You don't have to prophesy like Carolyn does or minister like you do. But you got to be you.
Yes.
You have to be you. And you need to be willing to own the journey of you. You cannot own the journey of mankind except through owning the journey of your own personal becoming.
That's right.
Don't you love it?
Yeah.
Well, that's your guarantee from the Father's source, that He will never forsake you. He will not leave you incomplete. He will not leave you wanting. What a wonderful, wonderful promise. So I want to say a few things about the journey, if I can get there. Now, the reason I want to use the parables, as much admiration as I have of Paul and Peter and Mary, is it Peter? But Lynn has sort of straightened my head on a couple of things. Titus, some of the smaller letters, but probably not written by Paul at all. That's why they're so contradictory. Isn't that wonderful to know that after all these years? Finally figure out, no wonder, he says, if you desire an office of a bishop. Well, Paul never desired no office of being no bishop. He was called. So where did that come from? Some bishop. How wonderful just to get that off our mind. Whoa, thank you. That book, whatever, Bob gave it to me. So no, we're hearing eternal truth. And Jesus, so clearly, somebody said it today, that upper room. Jesus said, hold it, folks, this age of Pisces is coming. It needs to unfold. It needs to be everything. And this needs to be, people need to be burned at the stake. God, we need to have heresies. We need to have the whole thing after 100 years. Well, it didn't even last for, when the original disciples left the thing already. Man, I looked in that book. If you haven't read it, it's called Early Christian, what is it? Lost Christianity. What are we all thrilled with in the kingdom realm? Well, two truths. One is what we call ultimate reconciliation, right? The other truth is our pre-existence. Well, there's one guy back there taught both of those. In the first century, second century, in the Roman church, squashed him down big time. Read about it. Yeah. That's 2,000 years old, that heresy. That's a lot more than a heresy to me. You know, especially our eternal existence, and that's what I'm coming to. In these three parables, here's the parable of the tenants. Listen to this. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country. Okay, second one, push it up a little bit, parable of the vineyard. Here another parable. There was a certain householder which planted the vineyard, hedged it round about, digged the wine press, built a tower. Whoa, that's a lot of investment. Wants a return, don't you think? I think somebody wants a return out of this, whatever this is, right? Ah, big time. And let it out to husband it and went into a far, here's this a little bit better, a far country for a long time. So now here we got both of them. We got time and space, right? And the parable of the lost son. And he said a certain man had two sons. Father, give me the goods that befall me. And in so many days after the young man gathered all together, took his journey into a far country. Now, the interesting thing about the parables is sometimes it's the father or the owner going on a trip, and sometimes it's the son going on the trip. And what I love about these parables is you're so easily deceived by them. You can so easily say, yeah, I know what that's about. This is the journey of a sinner leaving God's house in rebellion, going to a bad place with all, doing all the bad stuff, and finally realizing how bad stuff this is. Oh, God, I want to go back home. And he gets forgiven, and he goes back home, and Jesus makes a way home. But still, you're so easily deceived because that's how you felt about yourself. And it was okay. It was purposely given that way so you could interpret it whatever you needed to do. If that's what you needed, that's what you can get out of the parable. But all the time, the hidden truth is still there. The hidden truth in these parables is always hidden. And here's one thing about the journey. It's pretty clear that God can't go on a journey. Where would he go? Yeah. I've been here. I always deja vu. There ain't no place that he can go that you're not already there. Though I make my bed, thou art there. When I go into the womb of the morning, whither can I go where you're not? Because you are all wings. Right? There is no place that I can go that you're not already there. You're the light that's ever been. You're the light of every light that's ever been. Everything that's known is known in him. All things are seen in him. All things exist in him. How beautiful that is. So, clearly, if God can't go on a journey, then why does it say that he went on a journey? Because you are that journey. You are the journey of God. You are the way that God goes on a journey. And sometimes he shows you to be his son, and sometimes he shows you to be you. It doesn't make any difference. There's only one guy going on the journey, that's you. You went on the journey, and you went into the time-space dimension to find it. You went into the time-space realm. You created with him in the eternal worlds. We created the time-space realm so we could experience the journey. Time-space was created for the journey. Because only the journey is only possible in the illusion that we call time and space. And boy, that's been the hardest thing for us to get in our minds. We just don't want to hear that thought. I don't want to hear the thought that this is just an illusion. Because it's not true. It's not just an illusion. It's a magnificent, powerful, intended, desired illusion and delusion. It's the plan. It's what God wanted. And guess how he wanted it? Exactly like it is. That's what I like. God, that's why he said, he didn't say, he looked at the whole thing now. He just didn't look at a couple of people eating off a tree or snakes or didn't. No, he looked at the whole thing, right? The downcasting. He looked at the whole thing and he said, hey, this is really good. But the problem was, God doesn't know about bad. So clearly he didn't mean this is good in the way that we use it. What he said was, wow, this is exactly what I wanted. Whoa, so the next time when it gets really, really bad, just go back. Go back, get still. You know how you go back? It's really easy. Contrary to what every good guru will tell you. And I love the gurus now. Don't get me wrong. You can name them. They're all available out there. Get them on the internet. Get them in books. They have all good things to say, powerful things to say. Carolyn had this experience about a light tube inside of her body, and she felt herself folding herself into it. She told me about it. I said, wow, this is really great stuff. So I picked up a book that Barbara gave me by Drumvalo Melchizedek, and he describes that tube. Says it's 2 inches in diameter, it goes down the center of your body. Whoa, this is really good. This is really good, but I forgot that I didn't read it in the book. I got it from Karen. And then I read it in the book. There's somebody around here that's leading and teaching me and bringing me into wholeness. Yeah. Something's happening, Lynn. Something really good is happening to us. And it's okay for you to reach for truth wherever you find, but remember, the only place you can ever find yourself is to go back to the first created thought that formed you. You can't find yourself in no matter how wonderful the book is. Doesn't mean that the books don't serve. Don't teach people against the scriptures. Don't do it. Like I like the way Lynn does it. He says, can't do it with this. And then he can't do it with this thing. He's quoting it, right? He's not just quoting it in English. He goes right back to the original version and says it in Hebrew. Right? That's his real attitude about scriptures. Right? Here, we're not going to get anywhere by diminishing anybody or anything. No, that's not the way. But I want to say this. That your being, came in its essence and its substance, came out of the mind thought of God Himself. And there is a residual deposit waiting there for you to reconnect with, so that out of the synchronicity of you and that mind thought that still exists in the Father mind, out of the reconnection of those two will come the reality of who you are, the remembrance of your true being. And guess what? And this is the great news of the gospel. The good news for us is, the good news for me is, you can do this. I mean, tell you how I learned that phrase? Let me tell you how I learned that phrase. Is it okay? Well, what can we do, right? It's just part of it. She's our first baby. There she is, right there. Look, she's here. Oh, my God. She's going to, Dad, she's going to, oh, Dad, don't do this, Dad. Well, she came, and I just, we just felt by God that we should have a home birth. I don't recommend this. Go to a hospital, find a doctor. So Beverly, she's here, sitting there. That's Beverly, redhead over there, sitting with Kirby. She had a house. We were in Minnesota. She said, come and have it in my house. So we went to Beverly, and this lady called Jan, who said she'd be the midwife. Well, that's, I don't want to get into the story. The story's too much. But 33 and a half hours of labor. Oh. Here's interesting, though. We're driving along in the car, and we're having this baby in the womb. There she is. Golly, how does that ever fit? God, I don't know. We're driving along, and the radio comes on and says, there's a meteorite shower in Orion. I says, that's when the baby will be born. I just loved Orion. I always loved Orion. Meteorite shower in Orion. October what? 20th. October the 20th. I said, that's when the baby was be born. Well, she went to labor on the 17th. What was it? 33 and a half hours before, at any rate. But I'd totally forgotten about that. Oh, you figure. You go figure. I don't know. But destiny. It's destiny. It's destiny. There are children coming into this world just like you. They're coming by divine imprint and destiny. There's a meteorite shower in Orion to celebrate Eva's coming into this world, even if it took 3.5 hours for us to birth her. And in the middle of the birthing pain, I looked Carolyn straight in the eyes and said, yes, I can't do this. Here we are. Here's the whole drama of Adam and Eve acted out on top of a bed on our knees. And I looked straight in their eyes and it said, yes, you can. And I never felt more like God in all my life. I must have been out of my mind. She said a cesarean before. I mean, I must have been totally medically out of my mind to say such a thing. But I knew it. I knew it as sure as I knew what I am. I said, yes, you can do this. You can birth this new consciousness of who you are. You will birth it.
Yes.
Because the ages hinge on the birthing of your being in this time frame of time and space, the acknowledgement of who you are. This great, wonderful journey is a journey, in a sense, it's an illusion because there's only God. I've got a friend who preaches that. He says, God is the only one who has existence. I say, well, what about me? I exist. You're just an illusion. No, I'm not. I'm no illusion. I am what he is. So the illusion of duality, the beautiful, powerful illusion of duality, which is this journey, is what this is all about, right? It's about duality, about two. There's always two on these journeys. There's the Father and the Son, right? And there's two-dimensional existences that you have. I just want to say this, just like, you know, on the Autobahn, we just, everything glimpses too fast, but let me say this, and it's such a great treasure, and I love to say it, even if I could just get another emotional grasp of it, if maybe I can Maybe I can go see the Avatar movie again. Maybe that'll help me. You know, maybe that'll help me to know that I'm an avatar. Maybe it'll help me know that there's two of me. And you don't have to put me in a box and put me asleep. Maybe you did. Maybe I went in a box. Maybe I went asleep. And maybe I took on another form so that I could exist in another planetary existence. Right? Maybe we are those avatars. Right? And maybe we are multidimensional, and maybe there's another part of me, and maybe the only way that I can experience this reality is for me to fall asleep to my greater knowing. And that's all that death ever was. And all that death ever serves is to make you aware of the sleep of your eternal being. And all death that you see in your family, in your life, in the trees, while all death reminds you of the resurrection, the knowing that you will reawaken in the greater knowing of who you are. And to embrace that duality, to know that even though there's only one of you, ever was but one thought in God that created you, and that thought is the very substance and essence of God Himself, can never separate from God. Yet, in your experience, in this world, at this time, you need to embrace this as your reality, that there's at least two of you. This one that you perceive, and that higher being that exists in other levels. And you need to know it. And Jesus hid it in the parables. I don't go into it because it's really beautiful. It's really more wonderful if you search it. Let me just say this. Okay, just take one more. I'll just do this. About the journey, yeah. I think this is the one I want. These transparencies, I've been using them at home, and it's really wonderful because you don't have to go. Can you see the whole thing like that? Well, you just start with the top one. Barbara, I can blame Barbara for this. She says, Rokas, you got to start a mystery school. I says, right, mystery school. But I thought, well, what's a mystery school? Well, you just begin to investigate the mysteries together. That's really simple. Nothing hard about this. So I did it. I created a mystery school just by saying it. And there's two great programs running. This is the mystical syllabus for me. See, this is what I do, just to give you a little idea of what I play with at home, that my children and the fellowship at home, they have to bear with me. They do it graciously. They let me do it. There's one program running, and that's the great program of consciousness that began in, and I love I love what Lynn said about it, the first principle, because you can't think of it in a linear time thing, because there was no time. This program is not running within time. It includes time. It's greater than time and space. So the first principles of this program of consciousness is to create separation. The mystery of the one. Right? You know about the one, don't you? And then there's the mystery of the two. How did two ever come out of the one? Except by desire and intent. Right? And then the mystery of sin, how sin is the evolutionary driver of this program. What am I talking about? I'm talking about your eternal being, the greater being that lives in other levels of reality, that's experiencing the journey. That's what I'm talking about. Remember now, I'm not talking about your earth experience yet. We haven't got there yet. You're still just a blob of consciousness out there without form or with limited form. Maybe you're beginning to form some kind of form in the thought realms, but you have no physical form at all. Right? Beginning to experience yourself as something separate from God, the first notion in you. How can I exist, God, this wonderful love that you are? You can absolutely go back and remember those things. God left in you a point trigger, a memory trigger, if you're willing and have the courage. What? Take the red pill? Mm-hmm. Blue pill? If you have the courage to push the button, and you only can do it. Preacher can't make you do it. Jesus can't make you do it. Holy Ghost can't make you do it. You are sovereign about the unfolding of your being. But if you find the courage through an empowerment, through Jesus the Messiah, in fact, that's the one that is, might as well know it, If you will allow him to empower you to push the button of awakening and say, yes, I want to know who I am. I want to remember where I came from. I want to remember, God, what you thought when you created me. Now, that takes courage. Absolutely. Right, Bob? That takes courage. Now, if you don't have the courage, God will give you an experience so you can feel that you don't have the courage. He'll hook you on a bottle for 20 years. Hook you on a woman. Hook you on porn. And God, he don't stop. He just doesn't care, whatever it takes for you. So that you can feel what disempowerment is like and the ability to make a change. He says, I cannot change. I don't have the courage to exercise. I can't get rid of my weight. I can't get rid of my bottle. I can't get rid of my lust, whatever it is. And he gave you that experience so that you might feel that disempowerment, and then he'll save you from it. And the whole thing is simply about this. It's not about being a drunk. It's not about being a whore. It's not about any of those things. It's about your empowerment to receive the acknowledgement and to own your eternal journey. Say, yes, I'm willing to be me. That's an eternal journey. They're not limited to a few centuries or a few ages. That journey will be forever. You'll never escape this journey. It's who you are, and you will. You absolutely will find the courage, and you look God in the face, and you say to him, I don't know who and what you are. I don't know why you created me, and I hate you, but I want to know anyway. Tell me. You'll get there. You'll get there. And you might have to live with the bastard for a little while, or a lover. Whatever it became, whatever it was necessary. But the real thing isn't about living with a man or living with a woman. It's not about any of these things. It's about you owning your journey inside. And guess what? Guess who benefits? God himself. God himself wants you to own that journey. And he's given you the privilege. You don't have to. He's truly set you free. He's waiting on you to make that choice. He'll wait for untold ages. He'll wait as long because he wants love that's real. He wants love that chooses. He wants love that's empowered. He wants to be loved. He wants to know what it's like to have a lover. Someone from their deep depths of their soul, not just ingratiated. God, you've been so good to me. You saved me from my wife, from my drunkenness, from my sin. Not that. That's okay. He'll take that. He's good with that. He's really glad that you'll get rid of your bottle and become really thankful. But what God really wants from you, God wants you to say, oh, God, you created me. I find such joy. I want to know you. That's what he's looking for. That's the great marriage. And it's happening with us. We're breaking in. We're understanding. We're seeing. We're knowing. We're living. It's the great journey. Now, in order to make this journey of consciousness real for you, when you got stuck in the eternal journey, can you believe you got stuck there? You get stuck here, don't you? And what is this? It's only a reflection of real things, right? This is not reality, this is reflection. This is illusionary, this is showing, this is a dream. The dream serves the awakened state, doesn't it? If you dream, it's so that you can feel your feelings that you can't get a hold of, right? You're feeling something you don't want to miss. God gives you a dream. And then in the dream you experience really intensely. But then you can own the feeling and then you can deal with the thing. Well, that's exactly what we're about. We got stuck in the eternal journey. So then we said, well, let's create a place where we can experience this intensely so we can own our journey. And that's Program Adam. There's Program Adam. Elohim said, there is the program. This program that you're in, that's what we're talking about. When I'm talking about this program you're in, I'm talking about your life. I'm talking about what you're experiencing. I'm talking about every man experiences. This program is a secondary run to enable you and empower you in the eternal journey. I'm speaking collectively. So, what's the conclusion? If this earth journey that Jesus talks about, if we are awakening at the eve, what are we at? We're at the dawning of Aquarius, right? This is our awakening. Adam was put to sleep in the garden. in the beginning, and now is his awakening. What does that mean? It means that this heaven of the Adamic journey is about to end. Now people say, well, glad to get rid of old Adam. No, you're not getting rid of old Adam. You're just learning to look at him. You're just learning to own him. You're just becoming Adam. You've never been Adam. You've been some twisted thought about Adam in your dream state. Now comes the awakening. Now comes the realization that you are eternal God embodied in human form. This avatar thought can only have breakthrough because this is a time of the awakening. We are the first fruits of God in this planet. We are the first time humanity has walked in an awakened state. We are the beginning of Adam on this planet. So now, if the journey of Adam is just only now beginning, right? The sleep state has been, we're at the end of the first heaven. Paul said, I was caught forward into the third heaven. Right? So what heaven was he in? The second. What's the second heaven? The second heaven, the first heaven is the mystery of consciousness, the unfolding of consciousness. The second heaven is the Adamic journey on this planet. Right? And Paul said, I look forward into the third heaven. Guess where he was? Right? He was here at, what do you call it? Kahuta? Kahuta. I learned. He was here in this meeting. He was listening to you. He's feeling your heart. He says, oh my God, is this is what it's all about? Whoa, I can't tell any of this. You're not ready for this. So he went back and he says, well, I saw some things unlawful to be uttered. I was in some of Lynn Hayes' meetings. Don't you love it? We are at the awakening of time. And guess what's the most wonderful thing is that you can own your journey and by it awaken the consciousness of all mankind. Isn't that beautiful? Thank you.
Amen.